Welcome to Parenting with Sisu, the podcast with an international perspective on family life in Finland.
Hey, and welcome to a new episode of Parenting with Sisu. Today we will be talking about the postpartum journey in Finland, who and where you can get help from, and how you can make yourself as comfortable as possible. So the terms postpartum period and postnatal period refer to two different things. The postpartum refers to the mother, and the postnatal refers to those concerning the baby. So what about you girls? Did you see a difference how the mother and baby were treated here in Finland? Is somebody treated better than the other?
I was surprised actually. How little focus there is on the mom. Like the baby care afterwards is amazing. Like I was the voice of not being so happy during pregnancy, I think, during the last episodes. But the baby care after birth is amazing in my opinion. But I felt a bit left out. Like I gave birth and then that was it. Like I wasn't important anymore. At least that's how I felt, how it felt to me.
Yeah, I had actually a very different experience. I think I was a little bit surprised by how much care I got. Maybe it's all about expectations. Like I literally didn't expect anything. And I was thinking that, oh, I'm not going to be, you know, focused on, it's all going to be about baby. But I felt that I had a lot of support.
Okay, I see it actually exactly like Rabea. I also had the feeling that, okay, kind of the baby's here, the baby's important. You can go now, kind of. You're not important. Especially the first thing, I don't know, maybe I had the same issue like you, Katja, but in another like way around, that I had much more expectations. And that I, for example, the first thing that I found super strange is when we were leaving the hospital, they did not once check me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I gave birth, I even asked. Yes, yeah, I gave birth like twice vaginally. And like, they didn't even look down there. They didn't look if everything is okay.
Yeah, that's really strange because they checked me many times actually and I did ask. But
that's
I don't
crazy.
Know, I think it's all about, there's many elements to it, but it's also a lot about luck, you know, how busy they are at the hospital. It's like how lucky you get, who is in front of you, what kind of a nurse you have or midwife, and and how busy they are.
Maybe how persistent you are in asking.
Persistent, but definitely they checked me several times and I was persistent.
I just went with what they did. I don't know, I didn't know any better, but I lost extremely much blood after the first birth and before going home. Well, they checked if there was still blood coming, obviously, but they didn't check anything else. And I was a bit surprised and I was feeling super horrible, but they still let me go home. So
I think they even asked me like, how am I feeling? Am I, you know, feeling fine down there? And I was actually having pain. So I said like, no, could somebody please check me? And a midwife checked me. And then later on, I was still feeling pain. So I was saying like, I want a doctor to check me. And a doctor checked me.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
I literally couldn't walk straight. But
I mean, I wasn't feeling like bad. I could, maybe that's the reason that I never got checked. But the problem is for me that when you hear these stories, when something goes wrong, when the woman starts to feel really bad, it's already mostly too late.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, they should always check because there's a lot of things that you can't even feel until it's too late. So I think in any case, before you go home, they should look at the mom as well, because there is no baby without the mom.
Especially since the next checkup is so late. But
yeah.
I think we'll cover that.
And actually also, okay, the official next checkup is with the doctor, right? At Neuvola.
Yeah.
But when the Neuvola nurse comes and visits you at home, I think they come only with the first kid, right?
They come with the first
kid. And only for the baby.
You can ask her to check and she will check you.
I didn't know that either.
I didn't even ask.
Can remember we had some really, really young nurse come to visit us at home with our firstborn, and it was very funny because she just looked, oh, okay, he has a crib, is he gonna sleep here? Yes, and is he doing this or are you doing this or that with the baby? Are you breastfeeding or bottle feeding? And she would just write everything down. I can remember she measured him and like weighed him and that was it. Like, I can remember that she maybe asked me something like, are you feeling okay? And I would say like, yeah, I'm feeling fine. And that was it. So nobody ever bothered to check.
the only reason I know this is because I was talking with my friends before, and they told me that the nurse can check you, so ask.
Yeah, that's okay. Good to know. So
it's really good to know, yeah. Hopefully our listeners can do this in the future.
I think generally it's a good, you know, rule of thumb, like always ask. Always ask. Mm-hmm. If you want something done, always ask. It's a little bit sad that you have to do it, but...
Well, better than nothing.
Better, yeah. Better do it.
Yeah, so I mentioned already that the first checkup for the mom is actually a little later. I was quite surprised about it. I would have liked to get the checkup earlier, but it's typically between 5 and 12 weeks. And I was actually even told that they don't give appointments before 8 weeks. So I had mine, I think, at 8 and 9 weeks. Mm-hmm. How about you?
I don't remember, but probably around that time.
With the first one, it was something like 8 weeks, I think, or six, 7 weeks. I can't remember anymore. But with the second one, I went privately after 6 weeks.
Mm. Yeah, I also found this quite, especially since they didn't check me in the hospital. Like, I didn't know anything what's going on and if everything is all right, and I didn't feel good for quite a long time. So this was a bit weird to me, but yeah, it's good to know that you can actually ask the Neuvola nurse.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
I have to say, like, I did before I went to the doctor at Neuvola. I had already been checked in at the hospital and by the Neuvola nurse during the home visit.
So what do you remember what they check? Actually, I tried to remember yesterday, and
With the first one, that's the reason why with the second one, after the second one, I went directly private. I didn't even like go to the one in Neuvola, because from the private one you can also get this paper for Kela, so you don't have to go to the Neuvola one. But with the first one, I can remember that I went in, he asked me, how are you feeling, is everything okay, do you have bleeding? I was like, no, I'm feeling okay. He was like, okay, here's the paper. He didn't once look at me.
Oh really?
No, he didn't look at me.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. That's why I'm so pissed about
it. Oh my god.
I wasn't once like looked at after giving birth.
Not
once. Like, nobody looked at my vagina once.
Why didn't you complain about it?
I went to private then. I went to private because I was like, this is crazy.
This is crazy, and you need to complain about it so it doesn't happen to anybody else.
Yeah. I thought that it's maybe, like, normal. I talked actually with quite a lot of moms about it, especially after giving birth a second time.
I'm so angry for you now.
Yeah, and actually it happens really often that they do not perform, like, a physical check.
But they do check, don't they check the muscles?
I can just remember because that he didn't do any kind of like gynecological exam, let's say, like that.
That I also don't remember. Like, I don't remember if they actually did the gynecologic checkup, but I remember that they checked my muscles because I was eager to start doing some exercises at least again. So they checked that and said it's okay and I can start exercising.
But if I compare it to the private one, which was really amazing because she even did like an ultrasound to check if my ovaries are working again, so if I'm ovulating, and also like to check how my uterus is like size wise and if there's
nice.
Some issues, if there's scarring and so on. So especially because after the first one, when I was giving birth, I mentioned that they had to remove the placenta manually. So I was really worried that, because in these kind of things it can happen that somehow the uterus gets scarred or somehow damaged. So that's the reason why I wanted to get it kind of like looked at, and nobody did.
No, I think they do. Well, I remember they did check me internally, but it was more like sticking the fingers, you know, and just like, I don't know, rolling.
Oh yeah, that one.
Turning them around like a little bit,
and you have to
like,
squeeze,
okay,
and they
fine.
Check.
Yeah,
the, after the second
then,
one, I remember.
And then she
yeah.
would also check my muscles and pull
the straight tummy muscles.
The exercises,
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, everything's fine. And then I went to a private, this like pelvic floor recovery massage, whatever. And she told me it's not that fine. So
that I had not with the second one, it still looks weird. And the muscles are actually, it's okay-ish from the muscle side. Like, it's back in place, but it otherwise didn't really recover. I must say, I didn't do anything after the second one was born. Like, recovery wise it's like exercises but yeah, it wasn't so fine. And that's actually also something I wanted to talk about, like what for the physical shape of the mom is offered in Finland. And I at least didn't find anything that is on the public side. I know they can refer you to a physiotherapist if they notice in this checkup that there's something wrong with the muscles, But I didn't get referred and I had to find everything privately.
Yeah, that's actually true. Physically, if you think about it, okay, the checkups that I went through, you didn't. The only actually official checkup for the mom is that doctor checkup at 8 weeks, right?
There's nothing else.
And then after that, there is this possibility of physiotherapy, but you need to be referred. And I guess it's not that easy to get referred. So things need to be like seriously bad. And
but yeah, you mentioned the pelvic floor recovery.
Yeah, I went to this massage. It was the weirdest massage in my life.
Tell us about it.
Tell us more.
Yeah, I don't know if I would. So basically they massage your pelvic floor. It's like an hour massage. Somebody's
So it helps with the recovery.
Yeah, somehow it helps. It kind of like at some point, I think she told me that it happens. I don't even know how to explain it.
Okay, but it helps.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the most important thing. So
there's also lots of other courses I know from like postpartum doulas and other like physiotherapists and so on that have those private postpartum recovery Pilates and yoga classes and so on, where after you get the okay from the doctor that you can attend and get your muscles back in shape. And there's also always some pelvic floor exercises.
Yeah, I went actually to this postpartum Pilates with our older one.
I did
and,
too.
Yeah. I found it so boring. I never liked yoga and Pilates, but I was like, okay, baby Pilates is going to be so much fun. I'm going to get to know like new moms and everything. It was really boring. I didn't come after the second time because it was just,
it wasn't for me. I liked it. Yeah.
For me, it was just too static. They're just laying and then, I don't know.
Yeah, I was so worried kind of like about my muscles, you know, my stomach and everything that I wanted to take it very slow. And I think it worked pretty well for me.
Yeah, for me too. After the first one, after the second one, I didn't have time.
Yeah.
But one thing I can really recommend is the osteopod, both for the mom and the baby. Like that was super great, because if you imagine how the baby comes out of there and like what that means for the skull and or the spine of the baby, and then basically also for the posture of the mom, the osteopod can help really big deal. And getting everything back in place that's supposed where it's supposed to be. Did you try it?
Just for my baby.
Yeah.
I've never been to
osteopath. Because he had like colic and everything, so we were recommended osteopath for that.
Did it help?
I don't know.
Maybe he had other issues with
yeah,
the allergies.
Allergies. He had other issues, so I think that's the reason it didn't help.
Yeah. But actually, one thing that is really, really nice that Helsinki at least offers, or Helsinki, Espoo and Tampere offer for free, is the first IUD, so the intrauterine device, as a contraception. So you have to get it from the pharmacy, but the insertion is free through the birth control now. Yeah.
And actually that's also something that is discussed during that doctor appointment for the mom,
yeah,
right?
That's
so
true. Yeah.
Yeah, he may or may not check you. Should
yeah.
check for
but
sure.
But they do ask about
but
the contraception.
Yeah, they speak about contraception. They ask you, you know, what are the options that you're interested
yeah.
in and so forth.
Yeah, and there's a special place, like it's the contraception Neuvola. Like it's not through the your normal Neuvola nurse, but there's a special place to call in Finnish. It's Ehkäisy Neuvola.
We'll include the link in the
yes,
in the
definitely,
post, so
because this is really great. You can actually get that for free. I had it the first time. The second time I had to pay it myself, but like only the IUD, and then I got it inserted on the public side also, and they're really great. Also the taking it out was rather easy, so that's something really cool.
And I think they also do provide you with some pamphlets about how to exercise and so on.
Of course they do.
I mean,
they're the masters of pamphlets.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, if you know you're a self-guiding person, you're able to follow those pamphlets.
There's probably also websites.
Yeah, you know. a bunch of websites.
If you have
so.
Questions, ask Katja.
Yeah.
So another thing that is really important is in postpartum is mental care. And there are also different kind of services that are offered through Nevola, and of course you can also see it privately. Did you girls get anything, any services?
Probably a paper? No. I remember that they did ask, actually it was an appointment that I was supposed to bring my partner, and I think that was the only one where he ever came, where we had to grade ourselves basically on a scale from 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, how we are doing. And yeah, for me it was so dependent on the day, and apparently that day I was doing fine, so I graded myself quite high.
Was
and
that
also
at Nevola point?
Yeah. And also about the birth, they also ask about your birth experience.
Yeah, for us they went through the birth with us, through the papers, asked like what happened and like if I was happy. And
at Nevola or the hospital?
At Nevola. At hospital, but also Nevola when we had the first, or maybe it was at the home visit, I can't remember, but yeah, I can remember them talking about that. And I can also remember this 0 to 10 scale test for the mental health.
How did you feel about it?
Well, I felt really good after having our first one. And I mean, after both, I felt really good straight after birth, so I didn't have any additional like help. But now, if I'm thinking about it, I think that everybody should be entitled to, let's say, at least 2 visits after giving birth with a psychologist. Because you're not even aware of some of the things that maybe cause you anxiety or depression or just some issues mentally or in your head. So I think that would be really, really beneficial for everybody.
I think it's also important to kind of like understand that a lot of people think that when we talk about like mental health, you know, like mental care, everybody's immediately like, oh my God, there's
crazy.
Like a mental health problems, you know, like immediately you go, your, you know, thinking goes to like severe mental health issues.
Yeah, it's true.
But mental health also means very like kind of normal everyday anxiety issues that you may encounter.
Feelings and
feelings.
Yeah,
feelings.
Especially like after giving birth. I mean, all these feelings of something new, unknown, they all can cause, you know, fear and anxiety and potentially negative feelings, you know, towards something you don't even know what. And all of these need to be talked through. Mm. And it's always helpful if somebody, you know, professional can guide you.
Yeah, I agree. And especially when it could also be with the partner. So kind of like as a couple thing, because it's a huge change, not only on the mom and on the dad separately, but on the whole relationship. So I think just giving them a few tips and kind of dealing with some issues that maybe arise early on is better than like letting it go and then thinking, oh, this is normal, this is normal. It happens for everybody. And then you go crazy.
But also,
not literally, but
also the fact that you're supposed to assess your own mental health on a scale, I found it so weird, or like now thinking about it afterwards, that I think I wasn't able to assess my own mental health. I wasn't crazy. I wasn't, you know, I got up in the morning, I took care of the baby, I could sleep rather okay. Like I was doing okay. I thought that this would give me like already, you know, close to a 10. But when thinking about it now, if someone had to actually, or would have had the skills and the knowledge to actually dig a little bit deeper, maybe I could have worked on some issues I had back then already then, and not only now, like almost 5 years later.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's very weird to that you have to assess yourself for a mental health issue, because you don't have to assess yourself for a physical issue. So why do you have to do it for the mental?
That's a really good point, even if it's
even worse, because with the physical you at least know, okay, this is painful, I never have this pain, so maybe it's not normal and so on, but you still get it checked. But with the mental, I think also because it's such a still taboo in the society that you go to a therapist, that you get treated for some mental health issue, like you said, Katya, people straight away think, oh, I'm going to go crazy or something, or something is really extremely like wrong, which is not the point of mental health.
Well, I think I got in that sense very lucky again with this.
She's reading all the websites.
Yeah, I'm requesting help. So
yeah, but that's the thing, because for example, I didn't
kind of personality. Too.
Yeah, but I think that I didn't realize that I would have needed help. I thought that I'm super good, but like I said, thinking.
But
like,
in a way, I'm gonna tell you, I also got lucky. I didn't request certain things. I was just like offered, and I think again, it depends so much on who is your noble and nurse, you know, and
it also how well they know you.
How,
if it
yeah,
was the
but
same
but it shouldn't
one.
Be like that. That's
they understand.
The point.
But
it shouldn't be like
so,
that.
So already way before like these noble appointments, I already again I feel like it was nice to have a talk about it at the hospital. So they asked me about my birth experience, you know, and so forth. They asked me to rate it, and then they asked me if I feel like I need to talk about it, you know, to go through my birth experience with a midwife, and then afterwards we could kind of see, you know, how to go from there. So after birth, a couple of weeks later, I had this discussion with a midwife, and we went step by step, you know, my birth, and we kind of, yeah, I would say for me, it wasn't that helpful, because the conclusion was that I had a traumatic experience, yet I did not develop a trauma, and that is confusing, but essentially it means that it was a traumatic experience, but it didn't leave a deep trauma inside of me that would affect me, you know, on a daily basis. And if I would have had a deeper trauma, then I would have again had further, you know, discussions with like a psychologist or whatever. But on paper, you know, by default, like this service exists. So it needs to be noted, it exists, but a lot of people may not know
about
it and so forth.
Do you know on the scale, like how do you need to rate on the scale in order to actually get referred to for
so
the services?
So I rated 4.
Okay, well, yeah, I think I rated 8 or something like
that.
Yeah,
me too.
But I
have I'm totally going to do all of this with the third one. I'm going
to
be like, I request everything.
Yes.
For me, that's over. I should have actually known about it before the second one already. But
yeah, then of course, because I also was part of this birth fear group, then we had this entire group had a discussion with a psychologist again after all of us gave birth.
But
so
honestly, I'm really happy that that there is something like this, especially for the people like you that had these extreme fears or any kind of fears regarding or worries regarding the birth and the whole baby thing. So I think that's the most important one, that the people that really, really need it, they will get it eventually.
But then there's also this therapeutic work, right? And I said that also kind of because of this fear, but other issues or thoughts, you know, I had about like becoming mom and so forth, I went to this therapeutic work a couple of times before giving birth. So in a way, this is where I'm saying that I think I got lucky, because a week or 2 weeks after I give birth, this psychologist calls me. She's like, hey, should I come for a visit? Would you like me to come for a visit? Home visit? I'm like, oh, sure.
Why not?
Yeah, that's really amazing.
And literally, I didn't realize that this therapeutic work could continue throughout the entire year of the first year of your baby. And this is what I had. So she came in the beginning, she came once a week, and then later she came like once in 2 weeks, you know, and then once a month. But I had a person, professional, to talk to about my experiences, just like bringing up my child.
That's really
you know?
Amazing.
But that's also probably something that you can get even you have if you haven't had anything before birth, but that's offered.
Absolutely. So I would say like I probably would not have realized that I could just call therapeutic work and say like, hey, I'm having any normal, I'm not talking about crazy like postpartum depression or anything, but actual just like challenges with like
sleep.
Getting sleep, getting used to,
just getting
you know,
used
being
to the
a
whole
mom,
situation.
Like being,
I think we all went through that, and I think everybody goes through that a bit more or a bit less. But
the responsibility for a human being,
it's
I mean,
huge.
That kind of.
Yeah.
And honestly, like even
your...
though we're like women and like people like to say, oh, it's so natural. Yeah, it's natural, but it's not all natural.
Yeah.
When you live your life, let's say you live for 30 years and you don't have a kid, and then suddenly you become a mom, literally overnight.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to cope with.
That's
I have to say, for me, I had that with my mommy groups that I mentioned before. Like
they were talking again about the village that
the
you
village,
basically need someone
you need
and where
someone,
you get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you don't have, especially for expat parents, where the parents are not close, I think that's really helpful. And then there are psychologist services in the maternity clinics. So with Neovola, where probably also after you assess yourself and you give yourself a lower grade, that you can be referred to actually psychologists. Have you used any of this?
No, I did not. But the therapeutic work, there was a psychologist. So.
Okay.
No, I haven't. Yeah. Didn't know about it.
I did not use that specific psychologist. So
we will link all the
all
information,
the services,
of course. Yeah.
There are also different kind of services provided by the city of Helsinki, but probably other cities offer similar postpartum related services. So for example, there's this home service for families with babies under 1 year of age. They come to your home and take care of the babies while the mother can sleep, relax, go for a walk,
take a shower.
And then there's also couples therapy that is offered by the city. They have slightly longer waiting times, but it's definitely worth it if you feel like you need it.
And that's for free?
I think it's for free. I don't actually know if it's completely for free, but if certainly it's very cheap. Mm-hmm. For example, home services for families are also not completely free, but the maximum you pay depending on your income is 10 euros an hour. So then there's also social guidance. I use this as well. It's through Neovola, and they have social guidance nurses in different districts. And these nurses come and to your home, and they basically help you with the upbringing of your child. Let's say Unikoulu, sleep training is the first thing. Really help it. So I used it. I have to say we didn't follow the guidance that we received, but I know a lot of other families who did. And they're really nice, you know, they follow up with you, they call you and they're like, hey, so did you have any progress with your baby? And
oh, I actually also called there. I remember now for my first one, because she woke up every 10 minutes at night. So yeah, they are really old school. Like the sleep training program is quite old school, I felt. It's this family Neovola, right?
No, it's not. Well, it's not family Neovola. Family Neovola is separate. And basically, family Neovola, I did not use any of the family Neovola services, but I think they have very similar.
Yeah, they do.
I think there's a few services that are kind of like similar, just
overlapping,
from
yeah.
overlapping. One from the Perhe Neovola, because that's also not only in Helsinki, that's probably around Finland. And then the city of Helsinki has separate services available.
Yes. That's
Right. Because the family Neovola, if you check, it's also in the link, the Perhe Neovola, they offer also this kind of social guidance and people who come home to you to help. And this is actually for families with kids until the age of 13, that they help with parenting questions and so on, do babysitting services, and then also couples counseling. That's something we have been taking part in from the family Neovola. And it's not therapy, but it's this kind of, you know, they just make you talk to each other and guide you a little bit through.
I wonder what's the difference between couples counseling and therapy.
Oh, this is a big topic. I could hold a workshop on that now, but maybe another time.
Yeah. But in any case, these are really nice services also that can help a mom who had just given birth.
And the dads too.
And the dads too, yes.
No. And the Perhe Neovola is for free. Yeah, so let's talk about how you can actually enjoy your postpartum and how you can prepare for it or what you can do to make it more enjoyable.
Yeah, so starting at the hospital, we already mentioned that in the previous episode that you actually get everything in the hospital that you need, even the clothes for yourself and the baby, and that you only need to bring the clothes for yourself and for the baby to go home. But actually, some other things that you will get there already are cooling pads and mesh panty liners. You can get nipple shields if needed, nipple protection cream, painkillers, laxatives, and actually bottles and milk. So if you want to bottle feed your baby, you don't need to pack any formula or anything with you.
Yeah, that's really great that you don't actually have to bring those to the hospital. Of course, it's good to also prepare those already at home. But actually, I did take quite a lot of the, at least the mesh panties and the those huge panty liners. I like stole from
me
the hospital.
I brought a lot of things as well, but then I realized that I didn't need it. I think I watched a lot of YouTube videos from, you know, YouTubers from the States or Britain where they were like, oh, you need these cooling wipes and you need this perianal bottle. And you also need, I don't know, all kind of like pain relief sprays and stuff like that. Eventually, I didn't really use any of that, except that pain relief spray. That was really good.
Yeah, and it's so handy in Finland that you have actually the hand shower thingy that when peeing after birth, it can be really painful experience. And the water definitely, or wiping, yeah, the water definitely helps. I also did sitting bath with chamomile, but to be honest, that made me more pain than relief. I don't know if it helped with the recovery of my private parts, not sure, but it was at least not really comfortable.
Yeah, actually, when we're talking about the hospital right now, we didn't mention about breastfeeding and the support that you get for breastfeeding. I at least got a lot of support from the midwives on how to breastfeed, but I know a lot of girls who gave birth pretty much even at the same time as I did in the same hospital, and they were saying that they didn't get enough.
You were lucky again.
Yeah, again, I do feel lucky, but, and again, it all comes down to the fact how busy these midwives
are.
And how much knowledge they actually have. Like, they are not trained properly in breastfeeding support.
Well,
so
for me, like, I was really lucky, and I was really happy about it, because every day somebody came and asked, like, hey, do you need more help? Are you okay? Is breastfeeding going well? Call us anytime you need help.
Yeah, I had the same experience, especially with my first one when I was still kind of breastfeeding at that point. I can remember they were checking, like, how the baby was latching and if he was drinking really and so on, so I think I got quite okay support, even though Rabia mentioned earlier when we were talking about this, that at some point she told me that, okay, if you don't think that the baby is getting enough, you can just give him a bottle. And I did, because I really did not enjoy it. But yeah, maybe that wasn't the best then support. I don't know. For me, it was.
Well, for you, it was, yeah. For many, it can be confusing, and especially those who want to breastfeed. Maybe that's not the best advice. Actually, I got really good advice when I had the same experience, that I thought that my daughter doesn't get enough in the second night and she was constantly on the boobs, that the nurse said actually that this is really normal, and that she's cluster feeding and ordering the milk, and that we don't need to give her a bottle, she seems fine, she just wants company and entertainment, and yeah, the night for her was not yet the part where she would sleep. That was good.
And also, I just want to mention that if you feel like you didn't get the support that you needed at the hospital, there's also possibility to get breastfeeding counseling later on.
Through Nevola?
Through Nevola, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you can, of course, also go on the private side, and there's a lot of postpartum doulas, also in English, that can help with that. I will talk next time, actually, with Danielle about it.
But yeah, to get back to the postpartum and how to prepare for it.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can do beforehand?
Actually, the laxatives, I wanted to mention that they really helped me. And for the first one, I didn't know this. I got them in the hospital then, so that was great. With the second one, I already stuck them up at home also. And yeah, that helped me a lot. But there's lots of parts where you can prepare also for, especially when breastfeeding, that you have pads available. I didn't need them for long, but some, you said that you needed
like
them.
I did, yeah. And I also, so I basically froze pads at home before I went to the hospital. Then I also had these cooling wipes, as I mentioned. And I had a lot of things prepared again for breastfeeding. I had this belly wrap. Right, so belly.
Yeah, the
belt.
Belt. Yeah,
and
I had
belt.
The belt too. Yeah.
And I had two of them. One was this, the typical one, and the other one was like this Indonesian, Malaysian, Indonesian.
Mm.
I don't
Did it help you with the back or with the belly?
Yeah, it was this like belly binding, and the idea is that it brings kind of all your muscles together. And yes, I think that it helped, but it was a very kind of difficult procedure to always put it on, and then at some point it just didn't bother.
I used it only for my back, actually, that afterwards. Well, during the pregnancy, I was actually doing quite fine with my back, but then afterwards, also due to the position I gave birth in, and my back was in quite bad condition, so the belt definitely helped for that. But
what about the clothes? I mean, I also got these like huge, humongous granny panties that were so comfortable. And
I wore those from the hospital in the net once, actually, really long.
Yeah,
I found them so great.
Yeah, I also had like, of course, special bras that are really comfortable. I just like made sure that all my clothes are extremely comfortable.
Yeah, for breastfeeding, actually, the nipple cream was one of my lifesavers. I had really bad pain for a couple of weeks, but the nipple cream really helped me, luckily. And for breast inflammation, I used cooling pads also. My doula actually advised me to use cabbage, but I found it a bit stupid to buy a whole cabbage just to put some leaves on my boobs, so I didn't in the end. But I heard that this can help actually quite a bit.
Yeah, the only thing that we prepared is some pre-cooked frozen meals that we didn't even use that much in the end. And we just were mostly ordering via Wolt or just cooking. But I don't know, now when I hear all these things that you girls prepared, especially content, I'm like, okay. I didn't use that much of these things.
No, but like I said, it's actually kind of consuming, so it's really nice that you didn't. It's better to just, you know, have a chill.
Yeah, the only things that I had to prepare, of course, was for the baby, but for myself, not that much. I had the breast pump, and that's about it. I didn't have much more. Then when I came back from the hospital, I did make a few of these cooling pads by taking up these humongous pads from the hospital, mm-hmm. filling them up with water and just freezing them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about it for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I like thinking about it and planning for it. It gave me some kind of like the feeling that I had it under control. I don't know. I didn't in the end use that much. Like we just cooked ourselves somehow. I didn't find it too bothering. But what I actually liked and what I also planned beforehand is the visitors, that I actually really liked that in the hospital I didn't have to get visitors and we could, you know, get used to the baby first. And then when we got home, my mom and her husband came, and that was the only visitors that I had for the first week, I think. And then after that, like one friend came to visit or something like that. But I was aware that I would like to be more calm afterwards. So that was also something I planned.
Yeah, at the hospital we didn't have visitors really that much. Only, actually, we had two visitors. One, like my best friend and my husband's best friend came to visit us, and that's it. But then at home, like my husband's parents came and so on. So it was But I liked it. I was the exact opposite. I hated just being at home with the baby. So I really loved it.
I also had the same. Like, I wanted people to come over.
Yeah, I really loved it. And I wanted to go among people and just kind of just feel normal. Not something like, okay, now the baby's here now. I'm not seeing anybody. I'm just stuck at home, not doing anything else. So for me, that would have been the worst thing to do. But it's really great that you can decide. And that in Finland, it is usual that
people
respect it. It's not like in Southern Europe where 300 people come to the hospital and like you have to have a photo shoot and I don't know what else. So I'm happy it's not like that.
Yeah. And I mean, you can change your mind. I was always prepared to also change my mind. But I liked it calm and first just getting used to everything. I was a bit overwhelmed maybe. That it was nice to be alone with those thoughts for a while. But actually asking for help is also one big thing. I think many people, especially women, are not that really great in asking for help, but especially during postpartum, this is quite essential, I would say. Like, Did you have any help? Anyone who brought food or something?
Well, Mikko, like my husband's family, they brought food every time they came over. Mm. I can remember his mom brought makaron latiko, a huge one, so we could eat that for like a week, I think.
Yeah, but my mom helped me too a lot.
But I think one thing that I would personally want to kind of highlight here is that you let your partner do things. That you let your partner do things with the baby, and that you don't just kind of take over. Because first of all, it's not just your baby; it's his baby too. Second of all, like, it's good to just get some peaceful time without the baby. It's not just about the baby; it's also about you. So I think a lot of moms that I know didn't do that and had the feeling that they had to, like, I don't want to say like this, but kind of like be stuck with the baby and that it's their job and that they have to do it, that they don't have another choice, which is wrong. And I think that especially if you also want your partner to feed the baby and so on, I think there's many ways nowadays where you can also bottle feed once per day or so without the baby getting confused and not wanting to breastfeed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, we did that with the second one. Then with the first one, I was that one that had the feeling, it's my job now. I gave birth to this baby. I wanted it. And now I'm stuck with it. And we paid the price. And with the second one, I didn't just have the resources. I had another child. So then my partner was a lot more with the baby also. But when I put the bigger one to sleep and so on, and they have an awesome relationship. Like, basically, it's the same for our son, who's putting him to sleep, or actually with daddy, it works a lot better. So I can also just advise that it's for a lot of fathers, or new fathers, it might be weird and they might feel like mom can handle this much better, but
it's such bullshit.
It is. Like, I was overwhelmed as a
first time parent. Like, come on, just because the baby was inside us and we gave birth doesn't mean that we know much better than dads do. We don't.
No, and intuition is also something that you have.
Yeah, I can argue about that a lot.
Yeah, that it's more about what you have seen and what you have experienced than that actually, like, genetically inside you. So I agree that using the partner, the father of the baby, a lot more, and also in the, like, right from the start, not just changing the poopy diapers, because then he might feel like he's just there for the crap, but also about the nice things and sending them out for a walk.
My partner was like on a mission to bring me water. That was his whole entire goal throughout, I don't know, the first half a year, like, drink water. Because what, like, somebody at Neola told him that, like, you need to remember to bring water to the
hospital. Yeah, but it is actually really important. I didn't eat for 4 weeks. I didn't notice. I drank 2 cups of coffee in the morning, and then I wasn't somehow any more hungry. And I ate then in the evening when my partner came home. Like, he went back to work quite soon. So, actually, it would have been good to have someone there who brought me water and reminded me to eat, not just drink coffee. Yeah, but there's also a lot about physical routine that can help you, first of all, to recover, and then also make it a lot more enjoyable. That I learned from my postpartum doula, who told me how to sit on the toilet, and it sounds ridiculous because, you know, I mean, we've been going to the toilet for 30 years. But actually, when you sit too much in the front, the toilet seat kind of cuts into your nerves that keep you from emptying the bladder properly. And let's say, pooping. Let's be honest. She advised me to put a pack of diapers or a little stool or something under my feet to make the position more natural, and then it's more easy to empty.
Yeah, so it's kind of like when you're doing your things in that toilet that has only one hole. So that is
natural. I mean, that is the correct way.
So that is the correct position.
Mm. Yeah. So that's
I wonder who came up with these toilets that are so high. Because they're so unnatural positioning people.
At my grandma's, you cannot even touch the floor with the
feet.
Yeah,
I have that sometimes too. Yeah, it's really crazy.
And then getting up, that's when getting up over the side and already tightening your pelvic muscles when getting up, helps you also
not from
to
the
recover,
toilet, but from the bed.
also from the toilet to like push yourself up and be like just more aware of your body, and from the couch and from the bed and from
the
floor
the
especially
abs.
And but
yeah, it's important, especially in the beginning, not to use the abs.
Yeah. And walking, like moving is good, but also don't overdo it, because before everything is back in place and the pelvic floor muscles are kind of like working again, it's also really dangerous if you start too early with too much.
Yeah, I think when it comes to walks, I think when it comes to sports, I totally agree, but I think when it comes to walks, you can totally listen, just listen to your body, kind of.
And you can do the pelvic
floor
exercises.
Sports, then listen to your doctor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you can do also the pelvic floor exercises during
the
walks. Yeah, And do we still want to talk about sex?
Yes, the best for last. So I will advise, wait for the 6 weeks to pass and wait for your doctor to give the okay. But at least wait for the 6 weeks. I know that a lot of people don't wait for it, and I've read a lot about it, and the main reason why the 6 weeks are kind of like recommended is that when you give birth and the place where the placenta detaches from the uterus, it's an open wound. So if you have sex before these 6 weeks pass and before this wound kind of like heals, there is the problem that the bacteria may enter your body, and then you'll have very, very big issues. So that's the reason. It's nothing, it doesn't have anything to do with your vagina or anything else. It's the open wound.
I think it's quite often anyway not really pleasant either before.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people that say like, oh, I could have sex like, I don't know, after 2 weeks or something, and they feel like it. But then just please don't. For your own good.
And you wrote use lubricant.
Yeah, and I wrote here, use lubricant. Exactly. That's something that maybe people don't think about, but after giving birth, the flora there changes quite a bit before it gets back into totally normal. So just use lubricant. It's gonna be better for you.
Great advice from Paloma.
Yeah,
that's
all
we're saying.
And that's it for today. We hope you got to know some new things related to postpartum, and go get help if you need it. As always, we will add all the links to our blog post, so go check it out. And tune in next time if you're interested to hear more about creating a village for yourself and how to transition into motherhood with our guest Danielle from Mother's Transition. Have a nice week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.